Money coming out. Young folks getting paid around the world of sports. I never thought I'd see a day where I looked up and saw a Major League Baseball star sign a multi-million dollar deal and go, oh, yeah, that's not quite NFL quarterback money, but it'll do. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. Mike Golic Jr. with you. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line. How wild is that, by the way? The Patrick Mahomes deal still. Now, I understand baseball is fully guaranteed as Mookie Betts signs a what will come to in total with the current year that he is on, a 13-year, $392 million deal, a $365 million extension.
First off, the numbers aren't that, and I will get to that in a moment because I am a numbers guy.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah, but you're right, because in every NBA free agency, when we get to that, that's when we tell NFL players, turn your Twitter off. Okay, because they see the NBA deals going out and they get more mad and more mad and mad and mad and saying, why can't we get this type of money? Now one of their guys got this type of money, and I don't know when the guy will get that type of money again. We will see, but Mahomes got that type of money. Now, not fully guaranteed, but in a good way to get a lot of it guaranteed that is equal to some of those top guys in baseball. So never did I think we'd hear the day, yeah, a baseball player signed a monster deal, but it wasn't an NFL quarterback deal.
I should have known better coming in this morning that objects in the mirror are not as close as they appear with this deal, and that you would have deep dove on this somehow. I'm very interested to get to that here. Okay. But I guess just in general, the response to this for anyone, and this is the same with Patrick Mahomes, by the way, is the idea of paying a player this sum of money amidst a global pandemic. But we know with Mookie Betts, it was a bit more complicated than what was going on with Pat, who they had under control for a little while. The talk going into this with Mookie was, well, you brought him over here on a one-year, $27 million deal, and there was the potential for this season to be at best shortened and at worst not happen at all.
Well, that's exactly right. And he leaves Boston, where in Boston he said he wanted to test free agency. And basically Boston was like, well, we're not going to take that chance. And they were probably like, we'd have to pay him anyway. But Mookie wanted to kind of hit the open market. Now you obviously get paid this amount. You don't have to worry about hitting the open market. I do hear a lot of people, you know, the open was great with Freddie Fitzsimmons about, you know, talking about the owners crying poor. Listen, we did have some owners doing that, but we certainly didn't hear about that from the Dodgers. This, to me, is nothing different than we've seen. There are some baseball teams that can do this deal and a lot that can't do this deal or won't do this deal. Nothing has changed there. We're in a global pandemic. I get it. Mookie Betts is not making $27 million this year as part of the numbers I'm going to get to right now of what he's making. He certainly is making a lot of money, and baseball is not making the money they're going to have, but the thought is they're going to get back eventually to playing baseball and making money the way they've made money. So this is a long-term play, obviously, at 13 years. So to me, it's not as shocking. We all knew. Listen, anytime an owner cried poor, we laughed at him anyway. So why is this any different? Why is this any different? We didn't believe him when they cried poor before. So why should we be shocked that this kind of deal is done?
Exactly. It is just, it's proof and everything else for them that flew in the face of what they tried to tell us and all this. And it should be a sign, right? Like, all right, baseball and a team like the Dodgers are still so willing to, in this situation, invest in their future in something that it shows you they believe there's going to be one.
Right.
And on the other side of this, they believe things are going to normalize, going to steady. And all of a sudden you're going to find yourself with a situation where, oh, we want to keep a 27-year-old superstar around in all this, a guy who's got the tools to be someone that we eventually see in Cooperstown.
So, and Mookie Betts and this kind of money, what kind of player is he? Well, this is the one stat everybody looks at. On a per-game basis, he's the seventh most valuable position player in baseball history with a minimum of 500 games based on the WAR stat. Wins against replacement per 162 games. Babe Ruth is number one at 10.5 games. Mike Trout is number two, and there's news on him today, at just under 10 games. Then you go to Roger Hornsby, Barry Bonds, Ted Williams, Lou Gehrig, and then Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is actually tied with Lou Gehrig at 8.5 games, wins above replacement. So that's where he is considered in that stat in baseball history. So he gets the monster deal that isn't really the numbers we're looking at.
Yeah. Well, all right. So here it is, because this comes on the eve of baseball getting ready to start up again.
Starting today.
We have gotten to opening day. It seemed like it was a pipe dream at best a couple of months ago in a lot of this, but we're going to get what we were looking for tonight. Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer squaring off at 7 Eastern as the Yankees and Nats play. Johnny Cueto and Clayton Kershaw in the late game as the Giants and Dodgers are going to square off, both on ESPN. But we know, different season, different structure pay-wise, and that's where this comes in.
Yeah, so again, the one real number is the 12-year, $365 million extension, okay? But he's not making $392 total, because that's basing it off the $27 million this year, of which he's not getting. They're playing 37% of their games, of the games this year. So instead of the $27 million, he is making $9.9 million this year. So let's just say, make it easy, say $10 million. So he's making $10 million this year, not $27 million, which brings it to a 13-year, $375 million deal. So to make it even more fun, by what he gets per day, forget not per game, but starting today, season start today.
Per human day.
Per human day, for the next 13 years, he will make just above $79,000 per day.
God,
per day.
I hate that.
Again, in season, off season, anytime, every single day for the next 13 years. I like it in these terms more than the total. Every single day for the next 13 years, he will make little over $79,000 a day.
Man, whether he's sitting around watching a Snoop Dogg DMX versus battle or actually going to the park
doesn't matter
baseball.
How many games he plays, you know, the 162, 150, 140, doesn't matter.
Well, and
off
is,
days, off season, doesn't matter.
And that is the part about baseball that's always like, this is ironclad. Like,
yeah,
this is his lottery ticket. We know with Patrick Mahomes, during this deal, they're probably going to restructure all this.
Exactly.
He's probably going to sign a different
deal,
an extension to manipulate the money and all that. And he's still going to see a lot of money, but we know it's going to change. This one, we know, as you look at the terms right here, just like it happened with, I mean, got it, going all the way back to A-Rod and one of the first monster market resetters we've ever seen.
Right.
To Giancarlo Stanton on the Yankees. Because, man, like, and we hear all this stuff, too, about, you know, did you want to test free agency? Did you want to do this, that, and the other? And you look at it, it's like, what part of testing would you want when you could cash a winning lottery ticket? And for everything we talk about with the ownership side and the player side, I'm sure you look at this and you see the uncertainty around the pandemic and you go, all right, the next couple of years at the very least are going to be an interesting landscape surrounding Major League Baseball that maybe I don't really want to play with all that much. When I can cash a winning lottery ticket as a 27-year-old on a perennial contender in Los Angeles.
Yes. I mean,
where else would you like to be?
Check, check, check. I mean, for all of this. So, again, not surprising to me, because we never believe baseball owners when they cry poor anyway. So this all, we're going to have our fun today on it, and I get it. I understand that. But it's not surprising at all. And congrats to Mookie Betts, man. Grab it when you can. I mean, that's just awesome.
And I understand that, like, a lot of people will point out, like, there's a lot of people struggling, and we acknowledge that going on right now.
Understood.
In the pandemic. But in the realm of sports, it is always going to make my heart full to see young people get
absolutely
paid life-changing sums of money.
Absolutely right. The guy's a hell of a player. 6 years in Boston. He's, what I think, career. He's just a little over .300 batting average. But he's one hell of a player. We all know that. And the great players get big-time contracts. And I know it just seems odd in the timing of this contract. I get it. But business keeps on going. And this business just got completed. Oh, by the way, I think he gets $65 million to sign.
Decent start to kick the party off on there. As Dad said, on a per-game basis, the seventh most valuable position player in Major League history. That 8.5 wins above replacement, tied with Lou Gehrig and just behind Ted Williams. Player resumes brought to you by Indeed. Find the high-impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high-impact. Coming up next, we got another NFL owner in the news for all the wrong reasons, and we go to our source for all things on that subject next.
Jets owner Woody Johnson was subject to a State Department investigation following allegations he made sexist and racist comments. Johnson called the claims false.
If you're a Jets player and you want to be on the right side of racial and sexist issues, this is your owner. There is no running from this.
Woody Johnson has an impressive resume of being terrible at that job. And when confronted with these allegations, he didn't deny them.
Whew. A lot to unpack with New York. The Jets thought that they had things to worry about with just the football team. The problems appear to be far bigger than that at the moment. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. And you heard it there in the open. Jets owner Woody Johnson under investigation by a State Department watchdog following allegations that he made racist and sexist comments while serving as the ambassador to the United Kingdom and sought to have the Open Championship played at a resort owned by the president, Donald Trump. A lot to unpack there as we get ready to go. And so to help us do so, we're joined now by Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, obviously, thanks for joining us this morning. You spent a lot of time working with the Jets. You weren't hired by Woody Johnson, but worked in the building there. So what was your initial reaction when hearing these allegations?
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys. Obviously, I was really surprised and disappointed if it's true. Very serious allegations. But I could just tell you guys firsthand on years and years of working for Woody Johnson, the Johnson family, I never experienced any of those allegations that, again, are very serious. But based on my experience, I never saw any of that.
Knowing the climate we are in today, Mike, with people having enough with this kind of thing, and we're seeing it all over the country, is would you expect, or I guess the thought process of players pushing back on this somehow, some way. I mean, they're under contract. They got, this is a team they're going to play for and get paid by. But in this day and age, would you expect any players to maybe push back on this?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I think we saw that to a certain extent yesterday with Jamal Adams. And again, these are very serious allegations that I'm sure the league will look at thoroughly and let the process take its course. But I'm sure the players will want to know, what happened and if it's true. But again, we have to understand that these are only allegations at this point. But I expect more players besides Jamal Adams to, closely monitor this situation. And, if Woody Johnson made those comments, to be held accountable. But again, context here is important. He had a long track record of owning and running a team in the biggest city in the world. So to me, I think sometimes we have to let the facts play out and then see what happens. So I do think, players will, as you said, there's certainly a heightened sense of, social injustice in our country now. And I think they're going to closely monitor what's going on.
ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum with us here on Golic and Wingo. Mike, just to give people a sense of how present Woody Johnson was in that building there. We know different teams, different owners, and different levels of involvement, whether it's the day-to-day operations or just overall in the Jets organization. What was his presence like in the building when you were there, and what do you believe it to be now?
Yeah, Mike, when I was there, I was very fortunate to be the general manager under him, and he was there at least 2 to 3 days a week. And as you guys know, most NFL teams will be on the field to some extent on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And he was at most of those practices, certainly not all of them, but he had a very significant presence. It was very important to him. And obviously now, because he is the ambassador to England, he cannot have anything to deal with the team from a day-to-day basis. So, candidly, I don't know how much he's even in the country. So, but when I was there, he was around a tremendous amount.
And again, the NFL has said they're aware of this, and any media inquiries that they're forwarding off to the State Department. And as you said, we have to wait for this investigation to see what happens. But again, I'll go from the player's aspect and the now and the reality of this. Jamal Adams had wanted out, had requested a trade. Now, that doesn't mean you get a trade. But so in your position as general manager, if now Jamal Adams or his agent now call you and say, listen, I don't like what I'm hearing out of my owner. I wanted to be out here. Now I really want to be out. Does this at all help his case and force you as a general manager to really try and get him to another team? Or does this not matter at all?
Yeah, Mike, obviously it's I would expect that phone call and say context is everything. That right now these are only allegations. With that said, very serious allegations, and there needs to be a thorough investigation to see what happens here, and we will deal with it at the proper time and place. And the league has shown a great track record of holding people accountable for their actions, if true. Until then, you're under contract, and we fully expect you to honor the contract. So there's a time and a place. And right now, you know, you feel like you want to be traded, and that's not something that we're going to entertain. So if and when, you know, new facts come out, we'll deal with them at the appropriate time.
And so that's on the micro level with Jamal Adams and all of this. Now, where do you see this going for the organization? They've come out with a statement certainly on this, and Dad just read what the NFL's response to this has been. But how closely is this monitored, especially as teams are getting ready to ramp back up for training camp in the NFL season to get started?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great point, which is, you know, it's really obviously on so many levels the last thing you want to be dealing with, you know, especially when it comes, you know, starting at the top this time of year where obviously you just want to be focused on getting as many healthy players on the field as possible in this very unusual time. I think this is where you test the leadership of Joe Douglas and Adam Gase, which is, again, you know, this is going to be something that, as that statement said, the State Department has to look into. Probably the NFL is going to start an investigation at some point. So it's really out of their hands, and it's going to be up to them to keep their players focused on the field. And, you know, the other dynamic here that I think bears mentioning is Chris Johnson is currently the acting owner of the team. And I think, you know, it's also up to him to step up, you know, from a leadership role and say, hey, you know, what my brother may have, you know, said will be handled. But, you know, the here and the now is, you know, I'm running this team. And, you know, I got to know Chris as well, not nearly as well as Woody, but a wonderful person, someone that I know cares deeply about the Jets, the NFL. He's taken his responsibilities really seriously. So, you know, for him, you know, he is the acting owner, and he can also come out from a position of leadership to say that, you know, I'm running the 2020 Jets, and we're focused on the field, and let, you know, this other situation play out, you know, somewhat independently.
It's going to have to play out. I'm sure we'll be right now, the Jets, just with the statement, I'm sure we'll have to hear more from them as this investigation goes on. Mike, we appreciate you jumping on for a few minutes, and very soon we'll be talking actual football going out on the field as players and teams are, it looks anyway, at least it seems, 5 days away from reporting to training camp, if in fact July 28th is still the day. We look forward to chatting with you then.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Interesting situation. I mean, you know, obviously we just got all this last night, so a lot to digest in this.
Go Look and Wingo is brought to you by Indeed. If finding a high-impact hire is a serious goal for your business, use Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. They'll even give you a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply. Much more on those allegations against Jets owner Woody Johnson and the one player who has spoken out so far. We'll get to that next. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. here with you. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks to Mike Tannenbaum, our guest who joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line just before this. As we look here, and it's so much, we said yesterday, and it's almost like you jinxed it, so much had been going right in the world of sports as of yesterday, and we know that changes very quickly with baseball opening day on the horizon. We have the Mookie Betts contract in all of this, things starting to go better as far as negotiations between the NFL and the NFLPA on where they're getting, and then this happened with Jets owner Woody Johnson.
Yeah, again, so this is the officially what's going on. The billionaire NFL owner who is not day-to-day with the Jets anymore because he has been appointed the ambassador to the United Kingdom. He was investigated by the State Department watchdog after allegations that he made racist and sexist comments to staff and sought to use his government position to benefit the president's personal business in the UK, multiple sources told CNN. So there are multiple people telling CNN under this investigation, again, sexist and racist comments. And then the personal business, you know, and trying to get a golf, you know, tournament, the Open at one of the president's.
Yeah, being investigated. Course. There was a New York Times piece supposedly that the president had asked Woody Johnson to try and get the Open move to one of his golf courses over there. That's a whole, you know, that's a whole other thing. Separate issue in a lot of this.
And the president did say yesterday has never talked to Woody Johnson about that at all. So we'll see where that goes. But that, I think, is much to the side of sexist and racist comments that he has made to staff over time there, to which, again, he has come out and he has denied.
Yeah, in a tweet he sent out Wednesday, Johnson said that he has, quote, followed the ethical rules and requirements of my office at all times.
He said these false claims of insensitive remarks and gender are totally inconsistent with my longstanding record and values. So, you know, here we are with this investigation. As we said, the NFL is aware of it, and they have pushed all inquiries to them, to the State Department. That's where this is being handled right now. You know, this is one of those situations where we always look at the NFL and say, what are they going to do? Like in the Washington football situation, the Washington organization, hired an outside counsel to look into the situation, and the NFL said, we're waiting to hear from them, to which some people kick back and say, oh, you're waiting to hear from someone they appointed, you know, kind of, you know, laugh, laugh, smirk, smirk, but they're waiting for that. This one, I think everyone can understand the NFL, you know, not getting involved right away and letting this one kind of run its course with the State Department and see where it goes. Whether they have their own investigation after that, I have no idea.
Yeah, a bit of a different set of circumstances here for the NFL in a lot of ways there. So that's the league side in right. response to this. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain & Company on ESPN Radio, last night said it's a different group that she's waiting to hear from in this.
One of the things we said is about players, you know, needing to stand up for women in more important ways. And if you're a Jets player and you want to be on the right side of racial and yep. sexist issues, this is your owner. There is no running from this. This is not created a culture. He is the culture. And I think it'd be really difficult in these times to speak up and say, like, I'm not going to play for him. But at the same time, now more than ever would be an opportunity to put some weight behind any sort of allyship or even support of your own causes in terms of the black players.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
I as she said, difficult for players to speak up. Players can speak up, but I don't know what action you're going to expect. You have to, again, understand 80 to 80% or so of players, you know, don't have any kind of juice to speak up and maybe not have, you know, like, in what way are we looking for, I don't want to play for this owner? And if you're in a position, I keep using myself as the everyday common kind of foot soldier in the NFL, which is the majority of players. Okay, what goes on then? Now I'm talking about my livelihood. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to play for you. I don't want to be on this team. Okay, you're not on this team anymore. Now what? You know, now I don't have a job. So I don't. Players can come out and say, listen, if this is true, this is certainly not something that we like or condone at all, and we're going to let the investigation go. Players can speak out that they don't like, if this is true, what they're hearing. But as far as recourse, I mean, have any players for the Washington football team? We stopped calling them the Washington Redskins now. Has anybody from that Washington organization said, you know what, I'm not playing for them anymore? Even though Dan Snyder wasn't implicated, you had high-ranking executives, you know, that lost their jobs because of some of the sexist things going on. I haven't heard of, you know, players aren't going to give up their jobs. Let me just say, for something like this, you can speak up and say you don't like what's going on, but I don't know if it's going to go any further than that.
Well, I don't know if it's speaking up and saying they don't want to play as much as they don't want this person around their building, right. If that's the case. And I think we've seen plenty of examples recently where that's the case, because you're right, I don't expect any player not to. And Jamal Adams right now is, I believe, the only player and the only player of note that we've right. heard say anything, sent out a tweet in response to the CNN report saying we need the right people at the top. Wrong is wrong in this situation. And so this, in my mind, would be an easy place for a player to speak out, especially given the current backdrop yes. now, because you can be critical of what is alleged in this situation, critical of the owner involved if things are true in a lot of this, and you've got the background and the backing of everything that's gone on as, you know, insulation and safety for your job. They're not going to cut a player for right. speaking out against
no,
something like this right now. And so you have a chance to go out and speak out and condemn this. And I agree with
completely.
And I think that's what Sarah and others are looking for in this, because as far as in the way of getting anything actionable done, you brought up what happened with Washington. While Daniel Snyder wasn't directly implicated, he's at least around the building. And so when you talk about him setting the culture, that's the complicated part with Woody Johnson here, is like we heard from Mike Tannenbaum, once he took over as the ambassador here to the United Kingdom, all of a sudden he's not in the building
anymore. Right.
He's not there day to day. Chris Johnson is doing the day to day action in here. So it has a lot of the same feel to me in a way as the situation around the Atlanta Dream with Kelly Loeffler, who was a senator who wrote that letter that was much more open and concretely
right.
condemning the movement that so many of the women on that team supported. And
also another one who's not around for the day-to-day operations of the team.
Exactly. Not around for the day-to-day operations of the team. You saw plenty of people speaking out, current
right.
and former players on that team, saying this is not a person that we need a part of the team. And we saw the response from the league. She's not a day-to-day governor on the team. Hasn't been for a while. And is someone who is a part owner there. They were not going to force out or do anything with at that moment. And so we've seen all these instances where there's a lot more, you know, concrete evidence. Obviously, we're waiting for these reports and things like that right now. It's anonymous sources. It's things like that
right.
as this story starts to progress. But it just feels like we've seen a lot in the ways of, all right, people in ownership positions tied to impropriety where we haven't seen any action happen yet. And so it's hard for me to be hopeful that anything would change here
right.
as things go forward.
Yeah, I don't know what the expectation is going to be, but your point is a valid one, that this is a time that players will feel the safest in speaking up and condemning actions like this should they prove to be true against this owner in Woody Johnson. But where it goes then, that's going to be up to other people. That's not going to be up to the players. The players can speak their mind here, and then we have to see where this runs its course.
And I guess that's the thing is for these players, you know, what is the influence of Woody Johnson on their time as a New York Jet? How much experience have they even had with him at this point?
Let me just say, for the most part, most players have zero to do with the owner of a team. Now, that could be different. Like, when I was with the Houston Oilers, I think I saw Bud Adams one time. When I was in Philly, I never saw Norman Brayman. Never saw Norman Brayman. I mean, he was one of those owners that was never around. And so I for the most part, you have no interaction from the higher up. You know, you have interaction, obviously, at times with the GM. But with the ownership, some of these players may never have met him in their life.
And see, those are some of the differences. Like with Kelly Loeffler, what came up in that situation, you had a lot of former players from the Atlanta Dream saying, I had dinner at this woman's house. I've been around her and her family. This is not the person I thought I knew. I'm disgusted by what I heard.
Right. Again, one of the bigger differences is the larger roster in the NFL. You just have so many more players. And like anything else, it's more the top players and the big money guys may have more of a shot or a chance. I'm sure that would have met the owner and had a relationship. I'm not saying you never see the owner, but to actually have a conversation with the owner, I would say the majority of people, players in the NFL do not.
And those are talking about owners that are actually, again, in the building
yes.
and in the country in this instance here. Mike Tannenbaum was on with us earlier and I thought brought up the interesting point is the voice that we need to hear the loudest response from this is Christopher Johnson.
Right, his brother.
His brother and the acting owner of this team, the one who is doing all the day-to-day operations, because again, these are sentiments that you have to condemn. And even if you're Christopher Johnson, who I'd imagine is inclined to at least give his brother the benefit of the doubt in this situation, you've got it. Whether or not you deserve that benefit of the doubt is a whole separate issue. And in most cases we see, people do not and are given it in far out of, you know, proportion with that. You've got to come out here and say, this is not what we're about. You've got to condemn anything associated with this. And again, that's the voice that's going to, I feel like, have to be heard the loudest, because the players have the spot right now where they've been given the platform and they've been given the power and the backing behind them publicly to be able to come out and condemn these things, to point up to the top at ownership and say no on that. So that's the one thing Sarah's absolutely right on is
agreed.
If
yes.
you're a player, going and calling this out right now, which is what we've asked everyone to do, is probably as realistic as it's ever been.
So Jamal Adams has, will other players as well, will other players around the NFL, it doesn't have to just be the Jets. Maybe other players will speak up as well. When will we hear next from the Jets as far as more than just a statement? As we know, the NFL has pushed everything to the State Department. So this continues as we're 5 days away from the supposed start of the NFL training camps, as rookies have reported, but the veterans supposed to report on the 28th. So we'll certainly keep an eye on this moving forward. If there's any more coming out about it, we will certainly cover it. But right now, there's a lot more going on in sports as well, especially baseball.
Yeah, going to be very interesting there. As you mentioned, we hear maybe Zach Banner and others who have been incredibly outspoken on these things. We see if those trends continue right there. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. And while we do that, let's get you caught up on a little bit of what is trending back in the world of much more normal sports and the action there. Last night, the NBA Nuggets big man Bol Bol dazzled through his debut Wednesday, posted 16 points, 10 boards, and 6 blocks in an 89-82 win over the Wizards in a scrimmage. He's the only rookie in 20 years to register at least 15 points, 10 boards, and 5 blocks in a preseason game. According to ESPN stats and information, this feels like when Zion first came onto the scene where we've got preseason game stats or summer league stats for the first time in a good long time. The league is treating these scrimmages as a continuation of the preseason. Bull has not played this season as he's been hampered by foot issues since he was selected by the Nuggets in the second round of the 2019 draft. Without a lot of regulars, Nuggets coach Mike Malone decided to make his starting lineup supersized. Nikola Jokic at point guard and the 7'2" Bull Bull at small forward.
Jokic at point guard. Oh, he knows a great passer.
I was going to say, he has always been that point big man, and now he's, I mean, it's kind of like skinny Melo. You've got skinny Nikola Jokic out there, so all is fair, apparently, with the world's largest lineup. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays are looking at alternative options after the state of Pennsylvania on Wednesday denied their request to play the majority of the 2020 home games at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Quote, in recent weeks, we've seen a significant increase in the number of COVID-19 cases in southwestern Pennsylvania, said the Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine. To add travelers to this region for any reason, including for professional sports events, risks residents, visitors, and members of both teams. The decision again leaves the Blue Jays looking for a home. One option includes going to the city of each scheduled opponent and playing as the home team, sources told our own Buster Olney. Other options could be Washington, D.C., or Baltimore, in addition to their AAA park in Buffalo that we've talked about before. And Major League Baseball and the Players Association are discussing increasing the playoffs from 10 teams to 16. So what does expanded playoffs mean? We'll see Mike Trout in the postseason for maybe just the second time in his career after Trout confirmed on Wednesday in a video conference call that he will play this season. Remember, the three-time AL MVP had expressed uncertainty about the safety requirements to complete this unique Major League season, saying he wasn't going to risk his family's health to participate. But in the video, he said, "I'm playing. It's definitely been great so far." Trout's year is going to be interrupted in a few weeks by the birth of his first child, a large part of why he was so concerned with his pregnant wife. He doesn't know how much time he's going to spend away from this team when his wife Jessica gives birth to their son, most likely in August around the due date. So, to recap, the MLB season starts tonight, and the league doesn't know where one of its teams is going to be playing or how many teams are going to make the postseason.
Well, there you go, and that's what's trending, brought to you by Redbox. Rent Scoob at Redbox tonight. Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and Mystery Inc. Discover that Scooby's secret legacy could be the key to stopping a global dogpocalypse. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Whew, so a lot to take in there for Major League Baseball. And you know what? That reads like something that's extremely negative in that, all right, you don't know where this team is going to play right now, and you're trying to figure these things out on the fly. To me, that is the truest test in all this. That, to me, is the biggest sign and the biggest opportunity to show you're prepared to weather the storm, because I've said getting back and getting a plan to return should be relatively easy. We've seen enough leagues and enough places do it at this point. It's finding creative solutions to the problems that pop up is going to show the mettle of your league.
And you're going to be figuring things out on the run. It's part of this, because things are changing daily, as we're finding out here. The good news of everything is baseball is starting tonight. They have made it through all the way from when our own Buster only said 5% chance the season starts, 0% chance it finishes. Well, we're at 100% tonight because it's going to start. And even Buster was changing that along the way, because this was changing daily. Not so much because of what was going on, but with the around in the country that had something to do with it. But a lot of it was the negotiation of the players in the league as far as what the money was going to be. And that's just sports, gang. And it just shows no matter what's going on in the world, a lot of things still come down to money. The bottom line is, we are having baseball tonight. And again, Yankees Nationals, 7 o'clock on ESPN, Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, and then at 10 o'clock on ESPN, Johnny Cueto for the Giants, Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. So we do have baseball, even though the Blue Jays don't know where they're going to play. And this is where we see, you know, they wanted to play in Canada. That government said, not happening here. Hell, the Pirates were going to let them. The Pirates were basically saying, we can figure it out. We're National League. You're American League. We can figure this thing out. It looks good. And the state jumping in and saying, not happening here. Not with what's going on. So here they are looking for a home. And again, their first five games were on the road, I believe in Tampa and then in Washington. before they were going to have a home game. So they have a little more runway that is quickly running out again, as we've been overkilling that term in the last couple of months.
Yeah, we're going to have to retire that after we get through pandemic sports reopening.
That can never be used again. But they are going to have to play. And I know they want to play in a big league stadium, but it almost seems like, you know what, you just have to kind of resign yourself to the fact that maybe you're not, and play in Buffalo. Play at your AAA stadium there in Buffalo. Or, listen, we have an option for you here. Connecticut right now is the lowest, is doing the best in containing the COVID virus right now. There's the AA ballpark here. It's the Rockies' AA affiliate. It's been voted the best ballpark the last 2 years. Hell, come play here. If the government would let them, obviously they would have to.
Well, and that's the interesting part in all of this. Respect the yard, obviously. We are absolutely all very pro-yard goats around here. And so the Hartford Yard Jays has a nice ring to it. We feel like we could really accommodate you guys. That being said, that's an interesting note in all this, too. The response from Secretary of Health Rachel Levine to add travelers to this region for any reason, including for professional sports teams, events, risks residents, visitors, and members of both teams. Like, that's what's going to happen when teams come and play road games at PNC and when teams come play against the Steelers. Now, I understand it's all about mitigating risk. And
yeah,
this is similar
you're just
to
inviting
what we,
more in. So, I'm not going to complain if any state says that is trying to protect their own. Listen, we know our own is going to have games here and have teams coming in and playing here, but that doesn't mean we have to let someone else, an outsider, come in and bring more people here or more situations where we have to clean and we have to protect and we have to watch. So, you know, and I sit here and mention Hartford, but I mean, if they can figure out Buffalo, and I know there's an issue with the lighting, but come on, they can fix that, you know, and that's your affiliate, you know, as well, right there that you're playing in Buffalo. So it seems to me, unless you want to just barnstorm it, you know, and play wherever you're playing on the road, just turn that into your home then for whatever team you're going to play and do that all over the place. I mean, I would think you'd want one home base. If I'm just thinking again as a player, other than that, then you're on the road all the time. So how just have one home base, be it Buffalo, be it that affiliate there, if that's where it chooses to be. Be there, you know, you have a place to call home, at least for the season, and then go around, obviously, to your away games.
Yeah, because that was one of the things, as we bring up the Yard Goats here, that was familiar to their situation. When Hartford and the Yard Goats first announced they were going to have a team and got one here, completion of the stadium that's now Dunkin' Donuts Park wasn't ready at the time for their first season, and so they had to go out and play
They were forced to.
They were forced to in that situation, but they did it, and so you're right, it's that choice of, all right, am I so committed to the idea of only playing in major league parks through the course of this that I'm willing to sort of subvert my own ability to have a place to lay my head that's my own? Or am I willing to go ahead, suck it up, and say, all right, we're used to this facility at least, and we can go from there in all this? More insight on that from our own Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, who was on SportsCenter last night.
Bucci, I can guarantee you one thing. They are going to play on Earth. I don't know where on Earth. I don't know when necessarily, because July 29th is their first home game. And I say home in air quotes because they're not playing in Toronto. Federal officials there would not allow them. They're not playing in Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania State Health Commission today said it's a no-go. Baltimore is a possibility. But in the end, the Blue Jays may be the first team in Major League Baseball history to play all of its home games on the road, because finding a place to land this close to the season, this close to it beginning, is going to be awfully difficult for them to do. So they may just be road warriors for the next 60 games.
And not everybody in Pennsylvania was happy with this decision to not let Toronto do this. Senator Pat Toomey was critical of the State Department of Health's decision, saying if it's safe for Pittsburgh to host the Pirates and visiting clubs for 30 games, and it is, then it's safe for Pittsburgh to host the Pirates, the Blue Jays, and visiting teams for nearly 60 games. So, well, I mean, I see that point. I do see both sides of it. Okay, we are allowing this. Why do we want more to come in and just have more possibility of the virus spreading? Why would we roll the dice there when we don't have to? So I I truly can't see both sides of it.
Yeah, I treat this kind of like we talked about with the NFL, where players were saying we're going to socially distance the rest of the time, but not when we're on the field. It's all about mitigating risk, and so you're doing the absolute minimum of what you've got to do to get this off the ground. And so I can understand why the health department in Pennsylvania would say, all right, we've got to limit what's already going to be a situation that is stressful and taxing to our citizens, who we're beholden to first and foremost in the course of all of this. So baseball opening day today, as we mentioned, plenty of great action coming up tonight. And we know where one MLB team is going to be playing in 2020, and we know who will be roaming the outfield for them for the next 13 years. We'll get to that next. It's payday on Golic and Wingo.